Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition, the happier happy hour rolling through it. Dom, last thought on the gubernatorial debate here in the state of Wisconsin, the GOP one.
Yes.
Nobody mentioned Donald Trump. None of the candidates uttered Trump's name. And one of the candidates on the stage is Trump endorsed.
So none of the, and I find this really strange. None of the candidates mentioned Trump, who, as mentioned, endorsed at least one of them. They're all Republicans. You know, they're all MAGA. They all went down to kiss the ring. Every single one of the three remaining
that were on the debate stage. Trump endorsement.
They all saw it, but he did not come up in conversation at a debate. Given the circumstances of the J6 hearings that we just had, finished the last one, the eighth one in primetime with 17 million viewers, that didn't come up when one of the folks on stage, one of these Republicans, wants to actively right now is endorsing overturning the election here in the state of Wisconsin, and the moderators didn't bring it up. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a failing on their end, and I think they normally do a fine job, but that's one that was a big miss.
Well, there was an acknowledgement of Tommy Thompson's endorsement of
Tim. It makes it even worse. Why'd you bring up Tommy Thompson and not the guy, Donald Trump?
Well, that's an interesting question, Dom. You know, I've seen various pieces of information. The January 6th, finally sticking a stake in his political heart. And I think to myself, if only that were true. If only Donald Trump was dead. DOA, you know, guy keeps threatening to run for president. I don't know if you noticed, Dom.
No, like Hyman Roth, he's been dying of the same heart attack for 20 years.
Well, you know, the only question is, before or after the midterms, when does Trump declare? Right? That's the only real drama. When will Trump declare? And really, from the point of view of the Democratic Party, the elective cycle, make it soon. Make it soon. Crystallize for all of us what the alternative is. A return to the governance of Donald Trump. And I think you could see a blue wave if Trump ran now, soon. You know, let's say after Labor Day, when you get into the heart of the midterms. So I don't hope he runs.
I think that's a terrible idea. I hope he does not run. I know he said he would not run. I hope he does not run. I hope he's indicted before that. I hope he does not run. I don't like this strategery thing, man, because he got elected last time and it was bad.
Looking to us for strategery. He's going to do saying it aloud. It's not going to make it so. Donald Trump's going to run for the presidency. If he's going to do so, I sure do hope.
Wait. Did you just say it aloud and doesn't make it so? It's almost like you're agreeing with me in that regard, Crudy.
Well,
all right, but here's the thing. I know there's some reporting I saw earlier today about some Democrats, I believe in Michigan, backing a Republican. Backing a Trumpster.
Strategery.
Versus a Republican who voted for impeachment because what? They want to get the worst of the worst and that'll help out their end. I don't like that, man. Why not? If you're going to get involved at all, why not get a little love to those who did the right thing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, acknowledge, hey, this guy voted for impeachment. He's not a total MAGA. He's not a total fascist. Instead, let's support the fascist who wants Trump to be a dictator, and hopefully he'll lose? That just seems like a really bad idea.
I have no doubt. That does seem like a really bad idea. It seems like resources squandered. If the Democratic team's got so much money they can wade into Republican primaries, I mean, I got a problem with that. Let the Republicans figure it out on their own. they're crazy enough to put up a ramjet, right? I mean, the guy in Pennsylvania is effectively the rantham candidate of Pennsylvania. And if I recall correctly, Don, there's a little movement afoot to try and make him the Republican nominee. And it was effective. He is the nominee. And that'd be a hell of a shame if he won the governorship, right? That's what you got to worry about. But Dom, if you'll recall, once upon a time, way back when Mitt Romney was running for president.
Oh, yes.
Upstart Rick Santorum was running a close second. And the primary came right here to the great state of Wisconsin, partisan primary. And yours truly decided I was going to play a little strategery. I believe it was the 2012 elective cycle, summer of 12. Those were better times. But anyways, I went in the booth and I had to think about it for a long time. Like, do I really want to do this? So somewhere along the line, I cast a vote for Rick Santorum. I voted for Rick Santorum. And I have felt dirtier for that act every day for the rest of my life. I felt just
whatever you
dirtier.
Do not Google Dirty Santorum.
Yes, Dirty Santorum. Not something you want to experience. But in my strategery, Dom, I hadn't even put two and two together that as a partisan primary, if you vote, let's say, in the Republican column, well, if you wanted to vote, let's say, in the U.S. senatorial race, you've squandered your vote. You've squandered your vote. You can't vote on both sides of the ticket. So if any of our friends are listening and they, you know, want to go vote, be strategic on August 9th, if you want to go wade into the gubernatorial primary, want to lift a ram jam sort of character, you do so at the expense of your right to vote in the Democratic primary. You know what I mean? You can't vote both sides in the partisan primary like Crudy did. I'm pretty sure. If memory serves, the vote for Santorum, I think I was so flummoxed after I made that strategic choice. I think I voted for Tammy Baldwin and invalidated my
your own ballot.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Best laid plans,
see what
man.
Strategery gets.
That's what I'm saying.
And a dirty conscience ever since. If I go to hell, it's because of you, Rick Santorum.
If you mentioned the guy from Pennsylvania, you know, if you stay out of it and the guy wins, well, you know, the guy wins. But if you get involved and you kind of impact the race, and then the guy wins, you know what I'm saying? Because whether or not he was that candidate by the choice solely of those in that party or by others coming over and crossing and strategically trying to get him because he's the worst candidate and becomes a nominee, or they all elect him and he becomes a nominee. Either way, the dude's a nominee. And in one case, you look really, really bad. In the other case, it was just a happenstance. I just don't like it. But, you know, I'm not a, you know,
you're
political strategist. Yeah, they don't pay me for it, so I guess I can't call myself that. But if I were to be paid to give you political strategy, I'd say don't do that.
You know, I went on Fox News once, and I was labeled as a political strategist. And I'm like, or maybe it was political consultant. I'm like, whoever paid me to consult? My advice is free to you. Dom, here is the strangest part. You know, the newly weakened Donald Trump, or at least you hear rumors of it. You see, I mean, the New York Post,
right?
A couple of Rupert Murdoch,
Washington, Wall Street Journal as well.
Wall Street Journal and the New York Post, both Rupert Murdoch rags. Their editorial pages trash Trump, really for what happened on January 6th, but what was on full display at the January 6th hearings. They trashed Trump. He lost Murdoch, but he went down to the Turning Point USA summit. And Donald Trump handily dominated the 2024 GOP presidential nomination straw poll. And how do I know? I found it on Fox News. I think Rupert owns a piece of that as well, right, Dom?
I believe so. What Turning Points? What is that again? And
Turning
who cares?
Point USA. They pulled their conference attendees, youth activists from around the country.
Oh,
this is your fascist future, America.
Right.
Who they would vote for in 2024 if Trump decided to launch another White House run. The straw poll was sponsored by Turning Point Action, the affiliated 501c4 of Turning Point USA. 78.7% of attendees said they'd vote for Trump. More Trump. Another dilopping of that guy. More fascism for us, please. 19% said they'd vote for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. All the fascism, less baggage. And then 1% said they'd vote for South Carolina Governor Kristi Noem. 0.5% said Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I mean, come on, man. You went and got the Pompeo obviously had weight reduction surgery in preparation for a presidential run.
Oh, come on, man. He could have just done, you know, the Rocky workout.
Come on, man.
Chasing the chicken. I mean, come on.
Guy lost like 150 pounds. And he's polling 0.3%.
How many pounds per percent is that? I'm not doing the math.
I'd be eating Big Macs right now if I were you, Pompeo. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, 0.3%. And former Ambassador Nikki Haley, ambassador to the U.N., 0.3%. And, oh, yeah, Mike Pence, 0.3%. One-third of 1% said they'd vote for Mike Pence. Glad he sold his soul to go be Trump's VP, right? I mean, he almost died for that job.
Hang Mike Pence. Well, Crudy, I forgot, and I had to do a quick search here before the break. And folks, you can join us, 844-967-2789. Turning Point USA, according to the insider, businessinsider.com, Nazi flags displayed outside Turning Point USA summit, attended by Trump, condemned as pure hatred by the Florida Holocaust Museum. Yeah, that's nice. Some Nazi
great
flags.
People on both sides, Tom. Trump spoke at the conference Saturday night, hinting, mind you, teasing, if you will, a 2024 run. His speech was the keynote on the second day of the Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. And Trump's speech followed one Friday night by DeSantis, who's considered, along with Trump, one of the foremost potential GOP 2024 contenders. And teasing his own possible 2024 run, Trump said Saturday that he won the 16 election, falsely claimed he won the 2020 election.
Come on.
I can't believe Fox News just called him a liar and said, now we may just have to do it again. Gonna do it again, Dom. If I stayed home, if I announced that I was not going to run for office, the persecution of Donald Trump would immediately stop. But that's what they want me to do. And you know what? There's no chance I do that. He's running, Dom. And he's probably your nominee, Republicans. He's yours.
He's running for his life, man. He's running to the border.
Come back with us. Whatever it takes, keep on running.
I'll take a pound of nuts. The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open, going to them shortly at 844-967-2789. Crudy, just a couple of paragraphs from the editorial boards of the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal, starting with, let's go, the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Trump took an oath to defend the Constitution, and he had a duty as commander-in-chief to protect the Capitol from a mob attacking it in his name. He refused. He didn't call the military to send help. He didn't call Pence to check on the safety of his loyal VP. Instead, he fed the mob's anger and let the riot play out. Character is revealed in a crisis, and Mr. Trump passed his January 6th trial. Mr. Trump utterly failed his. Ouch. And the conclusion, a few paragraphs here from the New York Post. Let's see here. Trump thought the violence of his loyal followers would make Pence crack or delay the vote altogether. To his eternal shame, as appalled aides implored him to publicly call on his followers to go home, he instead further fanned the flames by tweeting, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution. The Post concludes his only focus was to find any means, damn the consequences, to block the peaceful transfer of power. There is no other explanation, just as there is no defense for his refusal to stop the violence. It is up to the Justice Department to decide if this is a crime. But as a matter of principle, as a matter of character, Trump has proven himself unworthy to be this country's chief executive again.
Is that the Wall Street Journal or was that the
New York Post? The second one was the Post, correct. Yes.
Thank you for that point of clarity. You know, an issue I don't think we touched on, or if we did, it was just, you know, not properly, Dom. You know, we mentioned the gubernatorial debate here in the state of Wisconsin. The GOP had their big debate.
Yeah.
And nobody mentioned that Donald Trump had endorsed Tim Michaels. Nor did they mention, at least according to local reporting in the Journal Sentinel, why it was that Trump had an affinity for Michaels. And apparently it wasn't just the fact that the man was a businessman. He went down, you know, bent his knee at Mar-a-Lago to Trump. And as it's being reported, Trump started ranting about a tweet that Becky Clayfish sent out with one of her underage daughters hanging out apparently as platonic friends, although I don't know, but platonic friends.
Like going to prom.
Going to prom with friends, one of whom included Hagedorn's son, Brian Hagedorn, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
Who voted, was the single vote against what Trump wanted to do here in the state of Wisconsin.
You noted that, because Donald Trump certainly noted that. And the fact that Becky Clayfish's daughter went to prom with Hagedorn's son, whether or not they were platonic or whatever.
Who cares? How is it relevant
is
in any way?
Worse than disloyalty, Dom. So my understanding, as it has been reported, Trump opted to endorse Tim Michaels. Because his daughter didn't go to prom with the Hagedorn kid.
And you know, and that Hagedorn, he's not too fond of that guy because that guy didn't vote with the other Republicans on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Conservatives, call them what you want.
Three of them were willing to overturn the results of the election.
Yes, they were.
Hagedorn showed a little independence. But the blissfully unaware Tim Michaels didn't even know about the prior tweet. And apparently was, you know, bemused by the telling and the ranting right up to the point where he was endorsed because, you know, apparently his daughters don't date the Hagedorns. You know, spend more time at the country club in Connecticut, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that where the kids go to school?
I'm not clear if he's got daughters, but you get the point. He mostly,
you get the point.
Mostly spends his time in Connecticut. Dom, a little article over at the Bulwark, former Republican National Committee spokesperson Tim Miller scorched the GOP for doing nothing to shed themselves of former President Donald Trump. And instead, they're just humoring him with hopes he'll go away. Well, Tom, he's like a fungus. He ain't going away. As Miller notes, immediately after Trump lost the 2020 presidential election and ramped up his efforts to prove the election was stolen from him, an anonymous senior Republican official told the Post, "What is the downside of humoring him for this little bit of time?"
Right.
No one seriously thinks the results will change, before adding, he went golfing this weekend. It's not like he's plotting how to prevent Joe Biden from taking power on January 20th.
You think?
He's tweeting about filing some lawsuits. Those lawsuits will fail, and then he'll tweet some more about how the election was stolen, and then he'll leave. As Miller Riley noted, that prediction didn't age well. And almost 2 months later, Trump's election fraud claims culminated in a frickin' riot at the Capitol following a Stop the Steal rally at the National Mall. According to the columnist, Republicans are still dithering when it comes to shoving Trump out into the wilderness, in part because they need his fundraising prowess and the ability to get out the vote in some races. Now, Trump's coming to Milwaukee on August 20th, right, Dom?
Yes, he is.
You were pointing out there, what, signs at the airport?
Yeah, Milwaukee loves Donald Trump. I have to disagree with that sign, but that's what it says.
A little bit more from this reporting, Dom. According to Miller, in present-day Republican politics, that anonymous, what's the downside of humoring him, moron, actually won the day. And not just that day, but today. Because despite how brutally and blatantly their strategy in managing Trump's psychopathy failed, senior Republican officials are still employing it. You see, back in November 2020, at least the, you know, SROs, as he's calling them, thought that there was an expiration date on their cowardice. They figured out come January 20th, 2021, Trump would be gone and they would no longer have to humor him. Today, the strategy has been modified only in the removal of the expected end date. He wrote before noting a comment made by the former Republican lawmaker in Mark Leibovich's new book, "Thank You for Your Servitude." As Leibovich wrote, "A former Republican congressman told me recently that the party's only real plan for dealing with Trump in 2024 involved a darkly divine intervention. We're just waiting for him to die." They're waiting. That's their plan, Dom.
It's the same as their health care plan.
So they're just hoping that Big Macs will cause the big one and take them down.
It's the same plan. Waiting for you to die. It's their health care plan. It's finally out. It's finally been expressed to us. And apparently that's their strategy for dealing with their fascist leader. Wait for him to die.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, the Big Monday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. It rolls on. That's a pleasant thought. Waiting for Trump to die.
If we don't battle to the death, they will kill us both.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. It's rolling on up in here. We're going to take some of your calls, 844-967-2789. But Dom, I got to point out, Trump went on the Truthy Social today and called out Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends, they were his favorites, right? We got friends of the Devil's Advocates. He had the Foxy Friends. Here today, Trump says...
He's getting so salty these days, man.
Well, Dom, the Fox and Friends have gone to the dark side.
Wow.
According to Trump, they've gone to the dark side. Former President Trump tore into the Fox News flagship morning program on Monday, lashing out at the host for their coverage of his polling as he eyes another run for president in 2024. And Fox and Friends just really botched my poll numbers. No doubt on purpose. Trump wrote a post on Truth Social, the social networking platform he started after leaving office. Is that what it was? I thought it was after he was banned from Twitter for inciting a riot on January 6th. But you know,
both of those things are true, yes.
That show has been terrible. Gone to the dark side. They quickly quote the big turning point poll victory of almost 60 points over the number two Republican and then hammer me with outliers. So he's bragging about the turning point because, you know, he was a dominant force at the big fascist convention, right? The Hitler Youth, they love the guy. Trump was referencing the network's coverage of the Turning Point USA poll released on Sunday that showed the former president well ahead of every other potential Republican primary challenger. This is a little different than a couple of other polls we've seen over the past couple of weeks. I'm doing the Trump voice, but it's actually Steve Doocy. Now, I didn't mean to do that. I should have read ahead in the paragraph. But I'm hoping if I say enough words, it'll cleanse the Trump sound palette. Because I don't really do a Doocy. But if I did, he'd sound like a dumbass. Can you do a Doocy, Dom?
I think your Doocy sounds like Trump. I mean, they all kind of sound the same. It's so all very similar. Honestly, as long as we're quoting any megas, we may as well use the Trump voice because that's how they are. Just saying. That's
Doocy,
what we know.
Imitating Donald Trump sounds something like this. That is a little different than a couple of other polls we've seen over the past couple of weeks. According to host Steve Doocy, doing his Trump voice, said referencing other national polling that has shown Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ahead of Trump in several age demographics. So it's like the young people who are activists at the Turning Point event, like the former president, but looking at these other polls, different answer. Then the oh-so-intelligent Brian Kilmeade, you know, co-host.
Co-host
Kilmeade. Kilmeade. You know,
Kilmeade now.
Kilmeade now. Added, if you look state by state, Ron DeSantis is showing tremendous strength in New Hampshire, Michigan, and Florida.
Mm.
Trump, in his comments, blasting the efforts, network reference, Rhino Paul Ryan, whom he called one of the weakest in work speakers ever. Thank God Paul Ryan sold his soul and merged their agendas, right? Also, he could be crapped on into eternity, or at least till that last Big Mac.
This is how it works. There's very little upside with a guy like Trump, and then just an unlimited downside. It never ends.
Well, apparently Trump wasn't happy about the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal editorials either. A little bit more. While discussing the recent January 6th selectman hearing on Capitol Hill, over which she presided, Rep. Liz Cheney, a frequent Trump foil, name check Murdoch, while she argued some conservative media might have soured on Trump. Maybe. During his time as president, Trump routinely touted Foxy Friends, appearing on the morning program live via phone often and tweeting his thoughts on various segments. Last week, Ainsley Earhart, and I don't know if you know this, Don, but that's Sean Hannity's sweetie, Ainsley Earhart.
No, don't keep up on the inner office romance at Fox News, dude, but thanks for the page six.
Ainsley's dating Slanted, but last week, Ainsley Earhart, the show's third co-host, you know, she's the third wheel, apparently, Dom, said in reaction to news made by the January 6 hearings that Congress should also probe the riots that broke out during protests for racial justice across the country during the summer of 2020. Because, of course, she did. Because they're still racist over there on Foxy News. They just don't like Trump as much as they used to.
Well, and
there's a corporate decision to back the new, the cleaner fascist DeSantis, baby.
So you think that's it? You think? Yeah. Do you believe Murdoch's now with these editorials? They turn the corner. Yes.
I think Lachin has chosen DeSantis. I think they all have. I think they want DeSantis. He's the cleaner, less baggage carrying fascist. Still ultimately a fascist. Still just as bad as Trump or worse. But you know he doesn't bring all the baggage. Doesn't carry all the darkness and keep reminding people of Donald Trump, let's say. But Donald Trump does own the Republican Party. So you watch. Fox will do a flippy floppy, a 180. When Trump starts winning, Fox will be back on board. They'll get back on the Trump train. Choo-choo.
But that goes against your initial thought that the son, Lechin, they've now made a decision that this is their guy. Now
DeSantis gets crushed by Trump.
And then they'll switch back and like nothing ever happened.
Well, nobody wanted
Trump. We never cheated. It was just a kiss. It was just one date. It wasn't serious.
Dom, even right-wing talk radio hated Trump. Here in the state of Wisconsin, they propped up, little Marco Rubio and eventually got galvanized behind Ted Cruz. He beat Donald Trump by, I know, it stings a little bit just saying it. But he beat Trump by double digits in the state of Wisconsin. But then they all came back and said, oh, no, Trump is the anointed one. He's our Cheeto Messiah.
Not sure he's going to be the anointed one when they continue these investigations and they, you know, actually the Department of Justice acts further than they have been doing. And in that vein, let me throw this one out there for your consideration. And perhaps that's also leading to some of Trump's angst and social truthing over the weekend. ABC News reporting the former chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence appeared last week before a federal grand jury investigating the attack on the Capitol, according to sources familiar with the matter, told ABC News. Mark Short, remember him? Mark Short was caught by an ABC News camera departing D.C. District Court on Friday alongside his attorney, Emmett Flood. Short appeared under subpoena, these sources said. Short would be the highest-ranking Trump White House official known to have appeared before the grand jury. Short declined comment to ABC. His attorney did not immediately respond to ABC requests for comment. And, of course, a spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office declined to comment. Mark Short. Now, that seems to me, Crudy, to be getting pretty close. And we didn't know this on Friday. I didn't know this on Friday. This has been reported today, ABC News. So when the guy that Trump's crew wanted to hang, his chief of staff, his number one, goes and interviews before a grand jury via subpoena from the DOJ? Oh, that's getting real close. That's getting real close. So I've seen some speculation. I don't know how to spin that or where that goes, right? I mean, obviously Trump is ultimately the target here, presumably, or just let the facts go where they may. But I did notice on the Palmer report made a point to remind everybody that the DOJ already carried out grand jury seizure warrants against Eastman and Clark. And so perhaps they're trying to get pressure on them and, you know, going in that direction to get a conviction if they don't flip. So it's getting closer. And I got to say, if Mark Short's in testifying under oath via subpoena before the DOJ grand jury, I mean, that is almost as good as Mike Pence himself. Now, for those who think the grand jury isn't moving fast enough, quick enough, yada, 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 and we played some of Merrick Garland's sound last week. There's a lot of rumors. You know, this is the biggest expansive investigation, more important investigation we've ever done. And that was pretty much it. But we see, you know, this news now. Does that give you any confidence, Curdy, that at some point, somehow, some way, at some time, justice will be served on the attack on this Capitol?
I want it now, Dan.
Come on.
No, not yet. When the indictment comes down, we'll celebrate Merrick Garland Day.
It will be glorious.
You and the audience,
fireworks, drinks,
declare it,
smoke for all.
But until that happens, man, you know, no, I'm not excited.
That's kind of a big deal, man. Right? Well, that's a big deal. Say it's a big deal.
It could be a big deal. We don't know what investigation specifically. I mean, I've got my
He was even there under subpoena. You don't get a subpoena unless, come on, man, this is the DOJ. And you know they're being tight. You know they're being smart. You know they're being dotting the I's, crossing the T's, taking their time, doing it the way they need to do it because they know it's going to be.
Bringing a guy in over the weekend so he doesn't get noticed by the ABC News cameras, hopefully, but he did.
No, on Friday. He's leaving Friday. So I think, come on, man, this is big, glorious, awesome news. And we don't know.
No, indictments are big, glorious, awesome news.
An
investigatory.
So the DOJ is actually investigating. I'm glad you said it because a lot of people don't think that they are, and they obviously are. So let's come on, man. Take it for what you can. How long when you flipped and burned that cop car? How long did it take for you to get your justice, Curdy?
We're not talking about me. It's not about me. 844-967-2789. Not on this topic. Not this day.
Okay. All right. All right.
Chris from Austin. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Hey. I'm just wondering if you guys have ever taken the time to see all these never-Trumpers are all tied to the Bushes. You know, you got Bob Mueller, who's directed the FBI 1 week before 9/11 happened. You got, you know, Cheney up there, which the leftists seem to be a big fan of. Now, do we remember who the Cheneys are and what they
put us good through? Point, Chris. I remember who the Cheneys are.
Yeah, but All of these guys are tied to the Bushes, so all you guys are doing is advocating for the establishment's the status quo. I mean, it just seems ironic that all these leftists today are really protecting the status quo.
But Chris, we're not advocating for the status quo. Certainly, we are advocating for law and order and justice in the face of clearly seditious acts on behalf of Donald Trump. And if Liz Cheney is the vessel of that truth, then I'm going to have to be supportive of Liz Cheney in this case. But no, man, I know who lied us into Iraq and a lot of other things.
Chris, seditious conspiracy. Chris, let me ask you this. Seditious conspiracy. They charged the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, other people's seditious conspiracy. Do you think there was seditious conspiracy on the attack at the Capitol?
These people haven't even had the defense. They're sitting in jail, and a lot of them haven't even been prosecuted yet, man.
Well, they're working on it, Chris.
Unless you've been prosecuted, sir.
Yes.
I mean, you can be held.
Chris, I get the feel. Chris, let me ask you a very specific question. Do you believe the attack on the Capitol was a justified political act?
I think the attack on the Capitol, the West Wing was breached before Trump even finished his speech. And I'll talk. I want to know who Ray Epps is. I want to know who Luke Robinson, the only person that was ever filmed with the gun there, photographed with the gun, was Luke Robinson, and he was removed from the FBI most wanted list, and he's walking around free. And then you got Ray Epps, who was out there saying,
okay, but Chris, I appreciate what you're saying, but you have not yet answered the question. I'll ask it again. Do you believe that the attack on the Capitol was a justified political action?
I think a bunch of people got tricked into walking through the Capitol. You got the guy wearing the horns that was just a joke, was talking to the police, and the police said, yeah, just come be peaceful. And
Were they tricked by Donald Trump saying, let's go to the Capitol, I'm going to march with you? Were they tricked by Donald Trump saying, let's go to the Capitol, I will march with you?
Trump never said to go into the Capitol. He said to go out there and peacefully talk. I mean, there was a permit that was issued for the west side of part of the Capitol for them to go out there and talk. Why won't y'all talk about Ray Epps? People were calling him a Fed when he was telling everyone.
Yeah, I saw the video. Okay.
Go into the Capitol. Have you seen that video?
I have seen the video, but people yelling things on the video does not provide me any particular proof. Now, seeing Trump supporters beating up cops, Chris, that's something. Chris, do you back the Capitol Police? Do you think they were beaten for unjustifiably by Trump supporters? Were they tricked into that as well?
The police no police officer died on January 6th. The only people that
That's
died
not true.
On January
Actually, 6th, Chris, one did die, I believe. Sitnik, right?
He died after, days after. He had a stroke.
Okay, so the beatings, the stabbings, the broken bones, the 150 injuries. Chris, I mean, what are you talking about here? I mean, think about what you're trying to justify, dude. Think about that for a minute. Then think it was Black Lives Matter and Obama leading the crowd, how you'd feel about it.
It's not like you guys were upset about BLM burning down cities and killing cops and destroying cities and hurting cops. I mean, this is the first time you guys have ever stood up for cops.
Brian Sitnik died on January 7th, within 24 hours of the insurrection, Chris. Appreciate you listening to the show, man. Can't believe you still support the seditionist former president.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We've tricked you into listening for all 2 hours, and now you're going to have to call because it is the last segment. If you got something to say, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, your buddy, Tim Ramjam Brantham, has found another dance partner in his calls to decertify the elections. There is a third Yahoo now joining him and Janelle Branchon here in the state of Wisconsin, looking to overturn, decertify the last election.
Crudy, we name names on the Devil's Advocates. Who of whom do you speak, sir?
Well, I got to give you a little bit of setup, Dom. Wisconsin State Rep. Tim Ramjam Brantham, Republican from Campbell Sports, said at a news conference today that a third lawmaker has signed on as co-sponsor in his effort to have the legislature decertify the state's 2020 election results and recall its 10 electoral votes. This subject, I quote, apparently Ramjam, this subject matter of elections is number one in the state, and it will not go away until it's resolved. You know, do we have to wait for Ramjam to die too? Is that the Republican plan?
Right. What does resolution exactly look like to you, sir? Getting your way?
Ramjam said that Rep. Chuck Whitkers, W-I-C-H-G-E-R-S, Whitkers, Chuck Whitkers, Republican from Muskego, and that's sort of an ex-urban part of Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, come on, Chuck. Yeah, it's north of me a little bit.
That's not like out, well, I thought Muskego, it's Muskego was actually...
I'm sorry, southwest of me.
South,
yeah.
Kind of south of Waukesha. But Chuck Whitkers of Muskego has extended his support for the bill, which, I mean, he's just basically said goodbye to reality, like Tim Brantham and Janelle Branchon, which advocates for the action that legal experts say is both impossible and unconstitutional. It's a win-win, Dom. Rep. Janelle Branchon, Republican from Menomonee Falls, signed on to Brantham's bill on Friday. Fairest and honest elections are the cornerstone of our democracy, and we know that the 2020 presidential election was neither fair nor transparent, Branchon said at a, via news release. Final thought, tyranny is at Wisconsin's door.
Yeah, come on.
Now, Senator Kathy Bernier, who heads up the Senate Elections Committee, now she is also stepping down. She's not running for re-election.
Right,
Bernier.
So that removes the gag from their mouths to be able to speak freely on these crazy-ass issues. And what did the retiring Republican have to say, like all the other ones?
Well, Senator Bernier said, speaking of Janelle Branchon, she's just making a name for herself. I think it's a dang joke. A dang joke.
Dang joke.
Rantham also said that he'd be open to decertifying the 2018 and 2019 elections as well, because absentee drop boxes were used to collect votes. Because as you pointed out often, Dom, this was not the first time we've ever utilized the absentee drop boxes. Well, that would, what, get rid of Kurofsky as a Supreme Court justice and Tony Evers as governor of the state of Wisconsin? You know that would really fit in with this.
Let's just do it all over again and make sure that we get what we want next time.
Rantham has some pretty vivid fantasies, Dom. A little bit more. A quotation. I know there's a line here. We have to address the 2020 election, he said. I think we crossed that line 2 years ago, Ramjam. But if you want to go back and do them all and go back multiple elections, I'm fine with that. but one step at a time. Let's get what was done wrong done first, and then we can go back further. I'm wide open to it.
No, I disagree with that sentiment. I mean, if that's your case, wouldn't you do, you know, the oldest injury has the most pain attributed to it? You got to go back to 16 or before that. What's his earliest date? 2012?
Well, he is willing to, again, redo the 2019 spring election. I believe that's when Karofsky won her seat. Maybe I'm confusing it for the year Rebecca Dallet won a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But they're both liberals. And above and beyond that, he's willing to redo the fall 2018 election. Well, that's the year that Tony Evers and Josh Call won their seats now. I'd like to go back further, too, but I don't want to muddy the waters with those kind of inquiries.
That's the limit. No more muddy waters that far back. You got to be kidding me. Hey, man, we got a bunch of callers that want to probably pipe in on this. Should we get to them here?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Otherwise, it's just Ram Jam quotes.
I know. All right, folks, you're going to have to go quick. We got a few pizza box. Mike, what you got for us, man?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, you know what the difference was between the police on January 6th and the police during the Black Lives Matter rallies?
What's that?
January 6th, the cops took an ass-whipping, and all the Black Lives Matter, they were the ones that were putting the ass-whipping out, Chris. Nobody died. I thought you were going to start crying, you big baby. There weren't any cops killed in Black Lives Matter. There weren't entire cities burned down. They burned some businesses. We've seen that before after championships in sports.
And people have been prosecuted for that, Mike.
Yeah.
Occasionally, some Truman canoe races.
Occasionally.
Sorry, Mike, don't mean to cut you short today, but lots of people want a piece of the Devils. Wisco Paul, you're next. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Yeah, we didn't. BLM didn't break into public property inside it and try to destroy everything.
Well, they did. Actually, Paul, there were incidents that they did try to burn down a police precinct. I think that would fit the definition of trying to burn public.
Yeah,
property.
Actually, I think there may have been a proven conservative person in there as well. The guy that broke the window. But I'll look it up.
Anti-Antifa?
Anti-Antifa.
I know, Wisco, here in the Madison area, when the Black Lives Matter, it was a peaceful protest. Both me and Michael Johnson from the Boys and Girls Club, we were down there. Thousands of people. It was quiet. It was peaceful. Broke up. And then instigators created all sorts of havoc that night, kicking in windows on State Street. Well, guess what, Wisco? They were different human beings. You know what I mean? Like, anyone can go pile on, but when you got a million of them coming wearing Trump hats, it's hard to confuse them with the Black Lives Matter protesters.
Hey, thanks for the call, Wisco Paul. Real quick, the Guardian reporting here. A Boogaloo boy charged in fire of Minneapolis police precinct.
Gotcha. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC. Welcome back, Mark. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Chris, you just read the reality right there. A lot of that damage in the Black Lives Matter protests were caused by right-wing instigators that wanted to besmirch what was the message that was trying to get delivered. And these guys got to be reattached to reality. I mean, no election is perfect, but, I mean, they're pretty darn close to perfect. And a lot of the fraud that was taking place was guys voting an extra time for Trump, like that guy down in, I think, Colorado, where he probably murdered his wife and then voted in her name for Trump because that's what she would have wanted, and he's a custodian guardian of her legacy, apparently. That
there's always those examples, but what about the buses full of voters from Illinois that Rojo speculates probably came?
I mean, it's entirely possible that anything could have happened.
I want to thank our fine guest today, Tom Nelson. Want to thank you all for listening. Want to thank Evan for making the show go today. We'll do it again for you tomorrow. Now stick around, Native Roots Radio and the Paul Revere Show with our pal, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson.